Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Kavaza, and for today, we're going to be talking about what's going on in the world of maintaining or building revenue streams in the telecoms industry. And we're going to be talking to a company that is around, I think they call it revenue assurance, and you know, in the mobile network operator sector. So in South Africa, you think of mobile network operators, Vodacom, MTN, Telkom, Cell C. Those are the names that we typically know. But, you know, there are companies that are sitting there and saying, hey, guys, you know, we're just making sure that, you know, you're getting what's yours. So we are joined by the team from RevNet for today, and we're just going to get a sense of what's going on. Joining me is the team of Johnny Robinson as well as Chris Hunter, and they both join me you know, from the UK, just around, and we're going to get a sense of what their business in South Africa is looking like, and I guess a view of what's going on out there. Gentlemen, greetings to you today.
Good morning.
All right. Chris, I'm going to start with you on this one. You heard me just now, you know, trying as hard as I could to describe what RevNet does. You know, maybe you could, you know, perfect what I've just said, maybe carve it out a little bit better for people that may not be aware of revenue assurance in the world of MNOs.
Sure. You know, we are, revenue assurance is quite a broad brush, but actually it's a very targeted business model specifically aimed at the A2P, which is application to person, SMS traffic. An SMS as a vehicle for delivering, you know, one-time authentication or over-the-top, passwords authentication is, you know, it's a market that's been around for a long time. It's a market which has some peculiarities, as perhaps some bad actors try and direct that traffic around an MNO's network. So what happens is a mobile operator is carrying traffic it neither sees nor bills because it's coming in through different routes that are classed. We use a term in the market called grey routing. And so these grey routes or alternative delivery methods deliver messages onto a mobile phone network without any revenue associated with them, or less revenue than the network should in fact enjoy. So our role is we operate a piece of technology, but primarily a managed service that sits on top of that technology, which allows us to block, for example, fraudulent traffic, you know, smishing, where, you know, bad actors are trying to defraud the consumer. We act as a fraud barrier, a firewall. But we also then protect the revenues of the mobile network by ensuring that that traffic is diverted back onto the mobile networks or onto the mobile operator's network. And then finally, what we do is we kind of do it in a rather unique way, which is a lot more transparent than the market is used to. You know, without getting into too much detail, we invested very heavily in some market research. That market research came back saying that mobile operators generally didn't trust people who operated within this space because nobody wanted to really tell them what kind of traffic they were carrying and where it was coming from. So our business model is one of complete transparency. We give them a portal that allows them to see everything, and we have a very strict governance model where we work in absolute partnership with the mobile operator.
All right, cool. Just, you know, maybe Johnny can come into here to say, okay, I'm hearing what Chris is saying about you know, all this activity that happens on the network, and you guys are coming in as a barrier. But I actually was at an event that RevNet hosted a couple of weeks ago in Cape Town, you know, talking about this, and I got to speak to you know, one of the gentlemen who's I think part of the team from Kenya, and I said to him, well, why aren't the mobile network operators just doing this themselves? You know, maybe you might have an answer for us, you know, on that front, because I would imagine that it's in the interests of the telecoms operators to be protecting themselves against this type of risk.
Yes, I suppose if we think about it from our point of view, Revenet, our customers are mobile network operators, and the kind of businesses you outlined at the beginning of this call, Madiba. And those mobile network operators are receiving inbound traffic internationally from myriad other mobile network operators, and they're not all directly interconnected. And actually, historically, the SMS part of their revenue, their income, has been a relatively small part of their overall revenue opportunity. But increasingly, with the growth of, as we're all aware, more and more one-time passwords for two-factor authentication from businesses to end users, there's an increased amount of traffic coming into those mobile networks, and therefore an opportunity to capitalize on that revenue. But of course, with the increased traffic, there's an increased risk. And so something which has been, let's say, a minority interest within a mobile network operator's overall focus suddenly becomes a much bigger opportunity. And also, with the advent of more of this type of traffic, you've got a greater fraud risk for those mobile network opportunities end customers. So there's more of a need to have a much more effective and sophisticated firewall. And it's not just the firewall, as Chris is saying, it's the managed service that we put on top of the firewall, which helps the mobile network in an area where they're not really specialist, because historically they haven't had to be. And a business will only allocate resources where it really is going to pay back. And so because of this increase, because of this opportunity, and because of the extra exposure that that brings, we have a proposition which can really make a difference to mobile network operators going forward.
All right. I'm not sure who can take this one, but the next thing is maybe to just understand, in South Africa, the company, as I said, there was an event a couple of weeks ago, and I understood it to be a launch event. And one of the things that I'm keen to maybe get a sense of or understand is that an entry into South Africa, or is that a bolstering of the presence in South Africa in terms of working with some of the local operators here in South Africa?
It's actually a launch platform for the African continent. And we chose Cape Town as the venue. We've actually just recruited some team members in the last couple of months. We've got some team members based out of Johannesburg. So the South African market, you mentioned the mobile operators at the start of this session, is absolutely a key target market for us. But we're launching. So this is a new business. This is a new entry into the African market. We are a global entity. We have contracts in Europe. We have contracts in Latin America, and we have contracts in Africa. But it's very nascent in terms of our aspirations and growth. And Africa presented and presents us with a rather unique opportunity, where there is still an evolving market. There is still lots of growth within the MNO sector broadly across the African continent. And as, especially with the increasing penetration of things like smartphones, it just creates a very dynamic environment. So we set our stall out, quite frankly, to continue to build the team in Africa. You met with our colleague Joffrey from Kenya when you were at the event. And so it's a launch platform for all of the African continent.
When it comes to, I guess, maturity, as you said, very nascent here on the African continent, but perhaps you could give us a sense of maybe one of the more mature markets that Revenet is in, to maybe get a sense of what a full offering actually looks like, you know, from you guys.
I mean, the full offering is largely what we've described. I mean, we typically engage in relationships for 3 years, and this business was born from another sister company where, you know, again, after that market research that we spoke about at the start of this session, it really showed the way that this monetization, as it used to be referred to, but revenue assurance model, is where our future lies. And that's where the Revenet was born from, as a business to focus specifically on revenue assurance, with revenue you can trust for the MNOs. So a full model for us is, for example, typically a 2 to 3 year agreement. And then we install the firewall on the mobile network itself. We take a couple of months to do so, because that's really quite a period of intense analytics. So for a period of 2 to 3 months total, we would spend a lot of time, frankly, just watching, viewing, understanding the flow of traffic on the network, and then starting to introduce our pre-agreed protocols. And it's done in a very controlled fashion with the mobile operator, where we agree a thing called a PIP, a project implementation plan. But it's very, very detailed, because you know, people talk about the use of AI and machine learning within this vehicle, or within this model. And we too use AI because the bad actors are using AI to try and circumvent the network. But actually, our experience of the individuals within the team is a key part of our differentiation. So the full model involves, you know, strict governance, regular meetings with the MNOs, making sure that we're sitting down, reviewing those protocols of how we're blocking nefarious traffic, how we're stopping fraud, how we're stopping flash calls, and showing how that the flow of the international SMS traffic is coming through the network and how the revenue is being properly assured. And so that's a process that takes 3 or 4 months to set up, and then you're in regular cheek by jowl contact with the MNO thereafter, so that the partnership is really founded on transparency and clarity for them.
One more follow-up before I come back to Johnny is just around the, in some of your other markets around the world, are you comfortable to share who some of your big clients may be?
We can share the names, yes, of some of them. We have MTS in Europe. We have Orange within the portfolio. We have CNT in Ecuador. So there's some large networks, you know, complex networks, and very different. Some of those are government entities. Some of those obviously are large commercial entities that people know of. So, it's expanding. This is a nascent business. You know, we have a clear objective, for the African market. We're also, launching at the same time in Asia Pacific. I'm about to onboard a commercial team there who'll be tasked with building out the customer base in Asia Pacific. It takes time. You know, there's a lot of these engagements with mobile operators take a lot of time. Trust has to be built as well. They have to be sure of the partnership, and that takes a bit of time. So it's the beginning. It's the beginning, and we've a lot of hopes and aspirations for the growth of Revenet in the future.
All right, Johnny, I want to maybe use you as a way to maybe get a sense of market perceptions around something like this, because my understanding is that you are still fairly fresh to the team over at Revenet, but from my research I've seen that you've got a fair bit of experience in telecoms more broadly. Do you think mobile network operators understand the risk that a Revenet is actually trying to solve for, right? Do people see this? Are they bothered by it, from what you can see and tell?
It's a great question. Thank you very much. I think actually that is one of the fundamental challenges as a business that we're going to face, is actually making people aware of the challenges that there are out there and, of course, the opportunities. I think that, like I said in my previous response, actually, SMS, or what we focus on very tightly in our business model, which is application to person, international SMS traffic monetization, that has been historically pretty niche, but is getting much, much bigger, and is therefore going to be a bigger revenue opportunity. But like I said, equally a fraud risk for MNOs and their customers. So we're trying to alert people now to both that opportunity and the risk. And it's why this organization, or the people that backed it before, who have years and years of experience in the SMS industry, have really gone into a lot of detail to figure out where is the opportunity for Revenet, where's the opportunity for the MNOs, and why we should have such a valuable proposition. But I think There is definitely a need to raise awareness. And of course, that's why we did our launch event in Cape Town a couple of weeks ago. And I'm delighted that you were able to join us, because it was the day before the Africa Tech Festival, where, of course, a lot of African MNOs and other international MNOs are attending, so we can get the brand out there and start talking about what we do. And I think it's worth also saying that you might well be thinking, why did we choose Africa or Cape Town in this particular instance? And actually, One thing that is important with the African continent is that coverage in terms of 4 and 5G coverage is not anywhere near as comprehensive or ubiquitous as it is in, let's say, Western Europe or the United States. And therefore, our product or the part of the network, if you like, the part of the traffic that it works around, which is SMS, is much more important than it would be in the European market or in North America, where increasingly a lot of traffic from one-time passwords, two-factor authentication, is actually going over the internet, or OTT, as we call it these days. So in markets like the continent of Africa, the continent of Latin America, also Asia Pacific, we're a long way off, or the world is a long way off, being able to use the internet to get these often time critical and financially critical messages to customer security critical. So the need is really there to capitalize on SMS secure, ubiquitous service. But equally, you need to make sure that your customers are receiving SMS traffic that is clean and has been cleaned by Revenet, of course, if not fraudulent, and that you are getting paid for by the enterprises that are trying to pass it over your network to your end customers. So there's quite a lot to explain there, even to people in mobile network operators themselves, who are, you would think, conversant with technology. But ultimately, that's going to be my job, to boil that down into a simple message and make it really sort of a financially compelling argument. But I think, well, hopefully from the answer I've just given, you can see that there are some really important elements, both for mobile network operators and for their end customers.
All right. You know, as you're talking, one of the things that strikes me, and you did make the point about the coverage issue around 4 and 5G and how its proliferation on the African continent is less so compared to other parts of the world, which means SMS continues to be, I guess, a relatively bigger service, you know, that is still being used. And I guess sometimes when you are in the world of, you know, WhatsApp and FaceTime and iMessage and, you know, all of these different services, we sometimes forget that there is still so much traffic that is flowing through, you know, these SMS channels, and that, you know, you could potentially have your bad actors using that channel, for their own ends, on the criminal side, but also at the same time, you just have people that decide to just chance it, and try to take advantage because there's just so much traffic flowing through, some of these networks.
Yeah, absolutely. There is that risk. I think it's fair to say, let's say, in defense of SMS, not only is it far more ubiquitous because, you know, you can get it 2G, 3G, and obviously a lot of countries and regulators are thinking about sunsetting 2G, for example, which is a risk to a lot of people. It's also device dependent. So a lot of people don't have a smartphone or can't afford a smartphone. And therefore, even if they had 4 or 5G coverage, they wouldn't be able to benefit from OTT solutions. So there's quite a lot of road to travel down before you get to a point where OTT becomes a ubiquitous service. So for the foreseeable future, and this is good news for MNOs because they don't really control over the top traffic. That's the big, you know, your Alphabets and your Metas and these guys. So the MNOs have a vested interest in promoting SMS as the favored solution because it's secure and ubiquitous. As long as it can be made, you know, very secure, and they're not going to be getting fraudulent traffic because they will benefit from it financially. So for all those reasons, that's why I was very excited to join the Revenet team, because I think it really is a big growth opportunity that will benefit multiple parties, not least the end consumer.
Chris, just jumping off of what Johnny's talking about, what is the... Is there an equivalency in the OTT space, or have we deemed OTT to be perhaps just a more secure method or channel of communicating, whether you're an enterprise or otherwise, that revenue assurance either takes a different form or, is no longer as needed, or have people just gone and found new and interesting ways to exploit some of those OTT systems?
I mean, OTT by its very nature tends not to be monetized. So the MNO doesn't see the revenue. So what revenue it would have been enjoying via SMS is eroded if that traffic is sent down the path of the over-the-top solution. The reality of the SMS, just to pick up on something that Johnny said, is SMS still has very high open rates when compared to over-the-top methodologies. And that's because of the ubiquity. It's the trusted, and it's still a premium service. It's a trusted vehicle for the enterprise. Think about a bank, for example, right? A bank, when they're sending a one-time password, they want to ensure, one, that it's got a very high deliverability rate and a very high open rate. And SMS uniquely still has those two metrics in its favor compared to any other vehicle. So there are some, of course, who have vested interest in Meta, for example, of course, wanting to use over-the-top methodologies. And, the rates are skyrocketing, of course, for those vehicles for day-to-day communication. But when it comes to premium traffic, when it comes to something that is security-based, a password, I use the banking example, that's a very good and common example for SMS, then the enterprise themselves have a distinct preference to use the SMS vehicle. And that's why this service remains very relevant from an MNO's perspective, is to offer a secure vehicle for those messages that are mission critical, time sensitive, to come through to the consumer when they're being sent.
All right. I'm going to ask this to both of you because, one of the things that I've found, works quite well when having these types of conversations, we have a lot of cybersecurity conversations on this platform. And I feel like, this sort of falls in that realm. It's on the spectrum. The scare tactics seem to work very well in terms of driving the message across, because to our earlier point, a lot of the time people either don't understand what the risk is, or in certain cases, may not fully understand what the magnitude of the problem could actually be if it was to be actually examined. So when it comes to all of this traffic, in whatever metric, you use to quantify, to a mobile operator, how bad can it be? Or are there examples of, places where maybe a mobile operator actually didn't know how much money they were either losing or they could have stood to have made, by putting such systems in place?
It's difficult to really quantify in financial terms, because of course that differs by the size of the mobile network, the number of mobile subscribers they have, and also in the markets that they operate. But what I would say to you is we do a lot of penetration testing and analysis as part of a pre-sales process, actually, where we look at a network and we try and analyze that network on the traffic that it's seeing landing. And as a metric, I would say to you that we would say that on average, we see between 30 and 40% of the total traffic carried on international A2P is grey traffic that is circumventing the network. And in a recent one for an African MNO, I won't name the name because we're in the middle of a discussion with them, but we saw 40% grey traffic and we saw another 20%, 25% of failed delivery. Which is something that requires a lot further interrogation. It's an indicator, not an answer. But that's a lot of traffic that's not reaching its destination. That's a lot of traffic that is trying to circumvent the security protocols of the network and is reaching the destination through unapproved channels. And so there can be tremendous risk and or upside, depending upon your perspective, for the mobile operator by implementing the proper strategies and the correct partnerships. But it's in terms of how you actually look at that from a revenue perspective, that's very much driven by the individual market economics and also the size of the subscriber base of the network. But the one key factor that, regardless of the size of the network, is that security element. It's making sure that you are providing anti-spamming, anti-phishing. You're blocking flash calls, which can often be another route to enter into some kind of fraudulent activity. So, and there's a whole other gamut of, Wangiri and all these other terms that are out there that our processes help block and stop. And so it's twofold. We always make sure the point twofold. You know, it's two equal sides of the argument. Is yes, there's revenue assurance and the revenue can be trusted, but also it's the consumer protection and the security measures that come with it.
Right, great. Johnny, anything to add on this front?
No, not particularly. I suppose it's fair to say, well, Chris will correct me, that not all of this grey traffic is necessarily fraudulent. The thing you were saying, D-Way, about scare tactics with cybersecurity. It's just that the MNO doesn't have control over it and is not able to monetize it from their point of view. But a decent proportion of that will be fraudulent. And it was making me think that yesterday I was listening to the UK radio here and listening to an ex-head of GCHQ talking about the amount of attack traffic we get in from Russia on a daily basis, which is thousands per hour. Apparently, but fortunately, we have very good cybersecurity teams. So what Revenet is doing is we are automating the ability of MNOs in a non-specialist area for them to deal with this kind of world that we're in, which is just the reality. Whether you're an MNO or whether you're a government trying to protect your citizens' security, you need a level of technological competence, and you need the people with the experience to know what to look for, because you can't automate everything all the time to cope with everything that's thrown at you, because the people who are chucking the bad traffic at you are constantly innovative in what they're trying to do to get down through your defenses. Hence the need for a specialist really to help you protect yourself and your consumers and be able to monetize the traffic that you should be getting revenue on.
All right. That's how we wrap up today's discussion just around what's happening in the world of mobile network operators and revenue assurance. As Chris helped us to understand earlier on, the term revenue assurance is quite a broad term. In this particular context, what we were talking about is what they call application to person. Application to person, and a lot of it was talking about SMS and just talking about, you know, the fact that we live in a world that is increasingly digitized. And because everything is increasingly digitized, there's so much traffic, you know, on these mobile networks that it might not always be something that your network operators can, you know, sit and do to actually monitor and see everything that's happening, you know, on their network. So getting a specialist in to actually check and see, you know, sources of traffic, where they're coming from, where they're emanating, is it gray, is it not? To Johnny's point, not all gray traffic is necessarily bad, but, you know, it might just not meet, you know, all of the criteria that would normally go into a sense where your network operators can actually monetize, you know, that particular traffic. Also giving us a sense of, you know, the fact that SMS does continue to be a big channel, you know, for communication around the world, despite the proliferation of, you know, the internet, even in developed markets, it's still a channel that is used by, you know, a lot of entities, a lot of organizations, a lot of businesses, but particularly in Africa, where your proliferation of your, you know, your 4G, your 5G is not where it is compared to other parts of the world, then, you know, it continues to be a big, you know, opportunities for the likes of Revenet, but also at the same time continues to be a big opportunity for people that are looking to send some of this bad traffic over SMS, you know, to exploit. So that's been it. It has been a really great discussion, just understanding, you know, what's going on out there in the world of, you know, in the world of revenue assurance. We were in conversation with Johnny Robinson as well as Chris Hunter. They are both from Revenet. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.